finished. Here we go. Okay. I felt today, I think it was yesterday sometime, that I was to review, and I'm constantly thinking about this, and to review the steps the Lord took me through this last series of messages, and they're all on the podcast, and you can actually download an app on your phone as well, Podbean, and get to the podcast really quickly. And we have it's a neat little number of people that listen to our podcast now, so that's been really fun. It always blesses me to hear. And I think it was Jordan Lewis, when he doesn't make it to church, they live in North Canton, of course, he tries to catch the podcast while he's mowing grass or doing something, okay? And so he was mowing one day, listening to the podcast, and he just had a little more time, you know, until he's done mowing, and he wanted to get through the message. So you can click it up to 1.5 times or 2.0 times. And he started to entertain himself listening to me at high speed. I still haven't done that, but every time he starts talking about it, he cracks up. He said, "That's the funniest thing." Thanks, Jordan. That's good. That's good. He has no idea what I said, but he was having a good time out there. And so even as I went through this and laid out the steps to how the Lord's led me in this these revelations and how they connected to one another, it was edifying just doing that and I thought, how this is good direction, like how much more for us to go over things. And that's what, was it you, Phyllis, Bobby Connor just said that, you know, the repeating thing, going over, back over things. And we have to keep our minds renewed. And so I trust this is just edifying. I'm going to try to contain myself with each step. But the exciting thing is that it connects, and as a primer to this, if you'll sit and wait on the Lord, He'll begin to direct your paths. When the Lord begins to direct your path as to what He's doing and revealing Himself, your life will change. And nothing else has to change externally. But your inner life will change if you can get connected. And I was reading a portion in a book, and Roland Baker, Heidi Baker's husband, it wouldn't rain, not on Bethesda Road, not here, not during church, not with people's windows open. Are your windows open? I would go. I think it's raining. Come back. What's that redhead look like when it's all wet? I'm going to be in so much trouble by the time the day's out. Jonathan's going, "Oh, don't go there, Rick." And Roland Baker starts writing about the desire the Lord has to have relationship with us. You all must be certain your window's up. Arlette, are your windows up? Did you walk today? We'll have to give you an umbrella so you can get out. And how it's really significant. The Lord wants relationship. It goes to great extent to have relationship with you. He wouldn't need to be that way, but he is. He passionately desires to have relationship with us. And Roland said this in this little clip this little portion I was reading, that even more important than your healing and even more important than a lot of the things that we pray for when we're praying for things to change is that He wants to have relationship with you. And in this series of revelations and connections that I got, and I'll go there in a moment, it's so important to, as you step into this, to really, like we were singing today, we will not be shaken. It's about coming to a resolve that I'm standing this ground. And someone pushes you, like Karen walking by, pushing me, you know. If I would have my feet planted, it would have just been, you know, it would have been nothing. But because I was just kind of standing there, she almost took me out. It's like the enemy, though. Like, we think we shouldn't have to do this. We think we shouldn't have to fight for this or contend for this. But you do, because we're in a war. And all the promises of God and the fulfillment of your... You don't look too bad, Kim. This is funny. We interrupt this broadcast. It's so, the journey. Remember when I taught about the journey? Like, it's not so much about the destination as it is the journey. It's going through, like, that's where the life actually is. He's in the journey with you. There's a destination set, but it's not like the Lord is at the end of the journey. He is in the journey. When you grasp that, you stop being in such a mad rush to get through things and resenting and begrudging every phase of your life. Do you understand that if you just reach out and touch this thing right now and you'll get peaceful? The time you have to get such and such done, all of a sudden you go, it either will or it won't happen. I'll either finish or I won't finish. And it seems like, oh, there's so much to do and there's so many places to go and there's so many things I have to take care of. And I do this with myself all the time when I feel overwhelmed, if I'm doing a job or just whatever it is. I break it down to, I just start telling myself, when I feel that anxiety coming on, I just break it down to, just do the next step. Just do the next thing. Just get this accomplished, go to the next thing. Stop looking at so much, because it can get overwhelming. Life can get overwhelming. And you just do what's before you. If you can connect with the Lord and find out what he's speaking to you and start to follow, life begins to blossom in the desert, and you'll connect with this. And this began as I looked at Isaiah 55 and saw this scripture. I'll take the time to read them briefly. Isaiah 55, which has been a favorite passage for a long, long time. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine, milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. And so I was intrigued with the Lord asking me to come and buy from him. And I stopped and I went, let's get this resolved once and for all. I've looked at the scripture for all my life. I've seen this. How can I buy from the Lord? I can't do it with works. I know faith is important, but he's intriguing me like a vendor. Come and buy from me. And so as I meditated on that, I was directed, just sitting at my desk, to Isaiah 61. And this is where I find Isaiah 61, the beauty for ashes passage. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is Jesus' inheritance word. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. So your mess is Jesus' job description to fix. So when you're feeling the mess, go, oh, well, I'm perfect. Like, Jesus is looking for people like, he's looking for bad cases like me. Where our lives are always a mess, but when you become aware of the mess you're in, it immediately qualifies you instead of, see, the religious spirit steps in and makes you keep trying to fix yourself and get better on your own so that you can be acceptable. Now I'll go to church. Now I'll start walking with the Lord. I got it all together. And the value of this whole message is that your mess is the entrance level. It's the currency of exchange. Come and bring it and buy from the Lord. And because these are the very things that keep us away. You have troubles, you have difficulties, you have things you can't overcome, and that begins to separate you. You allow that to separate you. Jesus doesn't want that to separate you. He's like, oh, that's not a problem. I can fix that. The problem is you staying away and not coming close, not coming near. When he's trying to speak to us, when he's trying to lead us, when he's trying to guide us, when he's trying to help us, when he's trying to break through our stubbornness. And so in verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, I missed verse 2. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I saw the exchange. I saw, wow. And it's a problem if we hang on to those negative things. We try to get the beauty, but we still have ashes on us. Ashes are weird, aren't they? You ever get ashes on your hand? Of course you have. Like, it's not quite like dirt. Ashes are different. They kind of get in your skin. They almost can stain it. And you can kind of do this, but you still feel the ashes on your hand. And they literally have to be washed off. Like, it's so fine. It just gets into everything. And they're, you know, you get some ashes on you and you it just is nasty. And so we don't want to keep the ashes. They're valuable for exchange, but you don't want to keep the ashes. You want the Lord to take those. And so I realize these are valuable for exchange. This is how we buy from the Lord. We bring our very stuff that we're struggling with. We can't overcome. I can't get this right. This is still here after all these years. You bring that consciously, only you do it now with a resolve. I'm bringing it, and I'm not leaving till he takes it. So I used the illustration of our debit cards and our credit cards. And we swipe them, we stick them in the machine, we do something, And that transaction happens and we have no clue what really just happened. Before you had $10 in it, now you don't have $10 in it. It took it. But you get the product that you were buying. You get the exchange. The transaction in the kingdom, why do we think we had to figure it all out? We don't understand how. Do you understand your cell phone? Like, honestly, I know you think you know how to run it, but it's way smarter than you, and Do you actually know how? Well, I know if I push this button and I do this and I don't do that, then, this such and such happens. That's about as far as our understanding goes. But we accept it. Throw it in our pocket. Hey, do I have my phone? And you use it. And the same with spiritual things. Why do we have to understand with our minds? Why do we think we have to understand everything? We kind of are American, like, I've got to understand it or, it's not real. Like, set that aside. I've got to let go with that. And trust that this exchange happens. And then I was led to the table in Psalms 23:5. Read, how many times have you read and heard read Psalms 23? More than once, I bet. At most of the funerals we go to, it's comforting, it's powerful. And here in Psalms 23, in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And so the Lord prepares a table for you that is It is provision. He puts all of his stuff, like a merchant. All of his stuff was on the table, all the things for you. And you come, he prepares a table. You come there to eat. And in this illustration, and using this passage, I went, this is where this exchange takes place. Because I need to receive what he prepares a table. I need to come. Again, I need to come and I need to eat. I need to participate. I need to take what's there. But we struggle often with how to actually do that. We'll sing it. We'll worship to it. We'll hear messages. We'll nod our head. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But did you partake of the table? Or did you just hear a teaching that it exists and go, oh yeah, there's the table, but did you take anything? It's like going to a party and not taking anything. Here's the hors d'oeuvres, and here's the pastries and the desserts, and here's the other things. And you know, did you see the stuff at the reception? Did you eat anything when you went to the party? Yeah, I saw it. Did you take anything? No. You have to reach out and you have to take it. You have to partake of it. Or just because you believed that it was there doesn't mean you received any nourishment or blessing or pleasure from it, right? And I fear that the things with the table of the Lord, it's the same way. We see that, we go, here's what the Lord gives me, but I got to go fix myself first, then I'll come back. And so there's, and what's your currency of exchange? Your ashes, your mess, your mourning. The very things that are unpleasant, we exchange and we come to that table and we come believing. And Diane actually shared with me, I referred to it, I didn't use her name, but she's not here, so I'll use her name today. But she's like, I was sitting at my makeup table. You women, that's one that, you know, you're like, yeah, you got a picture, click, I know exactly where I put my makeup on every day, you know. And that's your stuff's there, and you know, your mirror's there, and your light's there, and you know, you do what you do. And she goes, I was sitting there at a table, and I was talking to the Lord about this thing, like this loss that I've had, and it's like, she realizes that there's something, she lost something, and she needs something, and she's like, Lord, how do I give you, how do I exchange what you have for me? With, you know, and he gave her words, you need to give me that thing. Like the very thing that was the pain that she was wanting, that was exactly what he asked her to give. Are you following me? I might not be doing a great job on this, but it was the very thing that was such a, like, that thing was what he asked from her. Give me that. Give me that sense of loss. That's what mourning is, isn't it? It's the grieving of the loss of something. That's what our ashes are. It's the evidence of something that's burned up. It's gone. All that's left, we say, all that's left is the ashes. In other words, the substance is gone. You cannot tell what it is anymore. It's just reduced to this powdery, yucky stuff that we call ashes. It doesn't look like a table anymore. It doesn't look like a piece of wood anymore. It's ashes. It's unidentifiable. And the Lord asks for that. And you have this cut and this wound in your heart. And you're like, Lord, how do I get rid of this? And he says, give that to me and I'll give you what you need. And so she said, she's in the midst of that conversation. And all of a sudden, it's Diane. This table appears to her like the table of the Lord appears. Like, whew. I mean, I can see it. Like, oh my gosh. I'm like, Diane, oh my God. Like, wow. Giving me chills. Like, it's that real. There's really a table of the Lord. There's like this stuff really, it really exists. And if you'll sit and wait and interact with him and let him interact with you, just who you are and how you are and where you are. You don't have to be in a special place. You can be at the kitchen sink. You don't have to be in a special place. You can be driving your car. You can be just going about your life, doing the normal. That's my best conversations with the Lord when I'm just doing the normal. And the interact, and you give to him. You choose to give. Now, here's the rest of the story. She did this. She has this awesome experience. The next morning, the feeling was back. But here's the difference. Now she knew what to do with it. Now she knew to just give that back. Now she had there was a road. Now a path had been busted through the wilderness of feelings, and there was a way to just give it back, just go back there, go back to that place. New every morning, his mercies, new every morning. So you find a way through this, and then once it's established, you go back there. Every time the feeling comes or every time you need to, you now have a path. If I understand right from the little bit I've learned about our minds and our consciousness and how our brains are, we get paths in our minds about how we think about things. They're literally just like there are real ruts, like in your yard. If you drive through your yard when it's wet and you leave a track, like that's in your mind too. Isn't it funny how you always go to the same place, something clicks and bing, we've all experienced it. You see a certain thing and you're angry. And every time you see that thing, you get angry. Or every time you go to that place, you go to that certain place, you start getting frustrated. Like, what is that? There's a track in your mind, a thought process, and you know, you get like we on the farm, we were always dealing with mud and et cetera and tractor paths and you know, and once a rut got established, it was hard to stay out of that rut. You could try to stay up above it, you know, drive over here, but if you weren't careful, boom, back, you're down in the mud, you know. And our minds are a lot like that. And the Lord wants to break that. And in a good way, when you get that established, you get a breakthrough, then you have something that you can go back through. The reality of the table, come to the table. And it's the place of exchange. Now, here's where we are so anxious. We want things to happen right away. Once you commit yourself to this or getting a healing or anything from the Lord, you need to decide at the front end of it, I'm going to come, I'm going to give this to the Lord, and I'm going to stay here until I get it. I'm just going to keep showing up here. As a matter of fact, this is now my new job description. What are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. How's it going? I'm waiting. I have not seen yet, but I still believe. And it becomes your testimony, your story. And you're like, I'm staying here. I know this is a promise. I know this is the right thing to do. I'm giving this to the Lord. And he's going to heal me. He's going to change me. He's going to take this wound from my heart. He's going to physically do something in my body. I'm going to contend for that until it happens. That is now my new preoccupation. When I think about this thing, I go here in my prayers. I make a declaration. Verse 37:5, trust in the Lord, do what is right. And it becomes you have this whole platform of, I, as for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord. Where's my trust? My trust is in the Lord. That's my go-to. I want to get that established in my heart that I go to the Lord first. That's what trusting in the Lord is. It's putting that's where our confidence is. And he can answer in a lot of different ways. He can provide in a lot of different ways. But the primary thing is I'm trusting the Lord. He's my first. In Isaiah 66, a lot of this came from Isaiah. Isaiah 66, verse 4. So will I choose their delusions and bring their fears on them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. This, of course, was Israel. I don't want to be this person. And the Lord, again, it reveals something about him. He was speaking. He was calling out to them as a people. He was, on his part, he was reaching out to them. And they, what does it say? They wouldn't listen. They didn't want to hear it. You know how we all are. You kind of get a little bit hardened, a little bit on your own, a little bit whatever, a little bit of whatever. Pretty soon, your heart's not soft. You're not sensitive to the Lord. You're just kind of, we all can go here. We have to guard against this. And there's this thing, just like, And we lose that. And so I'm sitting here, trust in the Lord and do what is right, do what is good. And so I just sit before the Lord. So what is good? How do I walk that out? And I realized the only way I can do good, and I just was very aware, I need to just baptize myself in the words of Jesus, just not alone, not to mention the rest of scriptures. But if I will keep my mind renewed and fresh and keep his words before me, it will direct my paths. And the things I get off the straight and narrow about are things that Jesus talks about, and I forget. I get waylaid. I get pulled in my feelings, my emotions, and my reasoning, and my justifications. And then I find a friend to agree with me. And pretty soon there's two of us that are in agreement, you shouldn't listen to Jesus. We never say that, but you know. So it led me to Matthew 5, and I was so excited to make this connection. And I went to the Beatitudes because I'm thinking Jesus' words. And I just sitting in my desk, I'm like, I'm just going to turn. I felt to turn to Matthew 5. And I look down and go, the Beatitudes. And I look and I begin to read and I went, oh my gosh. Here it is in the Beatitudes. And I saw something after all the time, all these years of reading and all these years of preaching, trying to teach about it. I saw something I'd never seen before, and I saw two categories of things in Matthew 5. And the first was, there are four negative conditions, but they're valuable for exchange. Now your negatives are valuable, so you take a whole different look at the things in your life that are undesirable. I wish I wasn't like this. Well, how about if you use what that's like and then don't hang on to it, get rid of it, exchange it, but you have to realize this is what you need to exchange. And we go down through the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, not a great quality in itself. If you're poor in spirit, don't want to stay poor in spirit. That's not humble, that's poor. What does the word poor mean? Poor, without. You don't have what you need, that's what poor is. So in itself, it's not something to attain to. I want to make myself poor. Even religiously, some people have gone there, I'm more righteous if I'm poor. No, you missed the whole point. You went right over the, bing, right over the mark. You overshot that. It only has value to exchange. So the first one, poor in spirit. What is your reward? Kingdom. You get kingdom. Like, but how? By bringing that. I'm poor in spirit, but I come to you. I don't feel righteous in myself, but I come. I'm poor. And I give that. So I exchange that for kingdom and all that's involved. Mourning, we talked about mourning, this absence, this grief that's overwhelmed. If you bring your mourning in exchange, you get comfort. But if you keep your mourning, you're going to become bitter and unhealthy. This is tricky stuff. The next one, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom. That is actually a good quality. Meekness is not weakness, but meekness is choosing to be weak or gentle when you could be strong. So meekness is controlled power, like it's you hold back. You have the power to be strong in something, but you choose to be meek because there's more to it. There's a need to be gentle. So it's a virtue. And the promise with exercising that is the inheritance. You inherit the earth. The world teaches us the total opposite, doesn't it? The world teaches the total opposite of that. In verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hungering and thirsting aren't great in themselves. The only thing that's good about it is getting satisfied, right? Eternal hunger and sometimes even in our spiritual realms here, we talk about, you know, always being hungry for the Lord. That's great, except if you never taste of the Lord and you never get there, you're going to get very disheartened and discouraged. A baby that doesn't get fed cries more. A baby that lets you know they're hungry, and then you have the bottle, and they're like, all of a sudden, it's like instant, you know, it's a miracle. They're healed, right? I still love to watch it. And that doesn't change. You know, you become an adult, and you're still grumpy and complaining until you get fed and get some more. Yeah. Yep. All of a sudden, we're happy. It's the fulfillment. So you trade in your hunger and thirst for being satisfied. You give that exchange. Lord, I'm hungry and thirst. And because we need him to give us this, we need him to give us what we need. We need that exchange. The persecuted, hunger and thirst, and then persecuted, there's nothing pleasant about that, but persecution exchanged is tremendous. Is tremendous. Roland Baker in this thing I was reading, it was just a paragraph. I'm like, oh my gosh. And he starts talking about this, about joy and life and how hungry the Father is to interact with us, and that joy is the energy of the Spirit. And he's all these things. And he says, and then the last line in the paragraph is, I learned these things from the people from China that were persecuted, that went through persecution. Like, I learned this thing about joy from the persecuted church. Now, if you're persecuted in something and you own it and hang on to it, you'll just get bitter and hard. And you can tell your story, and everyone will look at you and go, wow, you're amazing, you went through that. But if that's all that you have, then you missed it. When you're persecuted for something, it's valuable for exchange if you manage it right. And what you get out of it is, again, kingdom. I think the connection with that, yes, you get kingdom. Kingdom and everything that comes with kingdom. So it goes on. The virtues that we need to be patient and steadfast about and faithfully practice: meekness, merciful, showing mercy, and being a peacemaker. There's not a great accolade for those things, but they have a great benefit. So you want to practice those, and don't grow weary in practicing those things. It always pays to be merciful. It always pays to be a peacemaker. Don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution. It always pays to be meek. You fly off the handle, you tell people off, you do those things, it's going to bite you in the end. That's not great. Be patient, be calm. Give things the time to work out. Give a moment to understand why somebody actually did what they did. That's exercising that. All these things, they have value. So I saw the Beatitudes. It was totally different. And then from there, I went to Isaiah 43. And in Isaiah 43, you pick up this real sense of why we were called and how aggressively the Lord goes after us, and it's for his name's sake. He's very invested in you. It's like he wants to glorify himself, and he needs us to have a good story. He wants us to have his mark on him, because he's passionate about us and about us. And in 43, I began to talk about this, about you're a publisher. You're always writing a story. It's like you're the publisher of a newspaper, and there's always a headline, there's always a story you're working on. When someone bumps up to you, what's the story they get? What story are they getting? How's your life going? I mean, I felt so convicted. Like, when I'm in certain phases, I can be so negative. Like, when I was sick last winter, I started hating how I sounded, like how I was talking, because somebody asked me, how are you feeling? And blah, out it all came, you know? And it's like, it was this story about how bad I was doing, but the absence of the promise, like, I hated it. I'm pretty soon, I'm like, don't activate me. Like, and it's not helping. Nothing's helping, and I'm just blah, 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 a bunch of, and I'm not talking about the promises. I'm not talking about what the Lord's saying. And when we're in that, the story, David did this in the Psalms. He often talked about the reality of he was struggling, something, things were going bad, blah, blah, but he turned the corner pretty quickly by the end of every Psalm and starts bragging about the Lord again and declaring his promises. But you, O Lord. And so we're all publishing. And there's nothing in your conversation about Jesus, then that's your story. And that's fine if you don't know him. But when you do know him, and that's absent, and there's not a life in that, I don't want to do that. And in verse 10 of chapter 43, he says, "You are my witnesses, says the Lord." We're like, I haven't witnessed. You are witnessing all the time. You are giving testimony of how who I am in your life and what I am. And the absence of me being in the story is the story. The absence of no victory is the story. I don't want to be publishing something bad. I may not have gotten into my promised land yet. I may not have overcome something yet, but my story needs to be, here's my journey, and I'm going after this. And then people go, wow, well, I stay with, they want you to win. They don't want you to give up. They don't want you to be like them. They want to see you have goals and have things, promises you're going after, and that you're just like them. I'm struggling. The tire on my car just went flat. I just did this. I just did that. This happened. That happened. Oh, my gosh. Phyllis and I have been laughing. We've had the craziest things going on. I think it was, it must have been Thursday of this week, Thursday morning, and all of a sudden I got the phone call from Phyllis. Like, the sink, our kitchen sink, we've been nursing it along for over 3 years and treating it and trying to do everything I can to keep it flowing. I've taken the part underneath, and it's like I knew exactly without seeing, and I couldn't see, that this pipe goes through the wall over to the corner, down through, right behind where my wood burner is, rock walls up to the ceiling and a new wood ceiling, not anything, just like cut into, like, that's where it came down. I couldn't get a snake through because all the elbows are real tight ones. They're not nice curved ones. They're tight. I can't get it. Couldn't get anything through. I know it went over into the wall, under, you know, down above the wood burner, and then shot across my basement in the finished ceiling, like probably a good 16 foot over to the main line. And I just knew that I knew that thing was plugs, that we were trying to get this cleaned out. It was plugged, like it had stuff, sediment in it. And I've repaired other people's lines like that. And if there's not the right grade, I know what happens. So, yep, I had the picture. We're nursing along. We're putting enzymes in it. We're putting drain cleaner in it. We're doing this, doing that. It gets better. It gets worse. Gets better. It gets worse. And we got to where every night we're trying to put these special enzymes in it that are bio whatever, you know, and I got it. We're going to, in faith, we're declaring, we're going to clean this thing. I'm not going to have to tear the basement apart to get to it, you know, tear the house down to get to this line. And sure enough, she goes, it's cooked, man. It's done. It is just, bam, stop. And I just treated it like a double dose of stuff the night before. When she said that, I'm like, today's the day. I had to leave what I was doing, come home, and I'm like, and I'm praying through the whole thing. So I have troubles. Like, Lord, show me how to do this, because this is going to be a horrible mess. And drywall, and I'm just like, I don't know how else to do this. I'm going to have to tear half the ceiling out to get to this thing. And there's one place where there's a register in the downstairs where it's about that big. And there used to be a heater in the floor where it let air up through. And when you took that little panel off, there's the line that's bad. And I knew, I'm like, okay, here we go. I put down tarps, blank, everything, you know, drill a hole through it to let it drain out. It doesn't drain very well, which is another bad sign because I know it's plugged. And I cut it, and pretty soon, as I cut a one hole that I was able to repair quickly to see what was going on in the end, and it was plugged solid with like lime, like our water has lime in it, really bad. And it wasn't other stuff. It was like this lime sludge. And so the enzymes I was using, it was never going to cut through. It's not grease. It's not other stuff. It's, yeah. And I've just got direction. And all of a sudden, Phyllis and I are talking a little bit, and it was a little bit messy, but I did not have to tear the house down to fix it. And I got all of that cleaned out just by doing this and doing that and trying some things. And I had to tear the wall off on the outside of the house to get, you know, I mean, it was ugly. And it's so different when you just go, we're going to do this, we're going to face this, we're going to be, and we're good. And the Lord, it's like, you have testimony, you have victories. And after all, that is what our testimony is about, is having a trouble and getting a victory over it, right? Now you're publishing. Now you're telling a story. The Lord, many of the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The Lord makes a way where there's no way. I have a story. Oh, I was, you know, now you're publishing. Headlines. We cleaned this, you know, the kitchen sink's working again. Yay, you know. It was a big deal. Like, man, yeah, as you know. It's fun. It's just fun. The Lord, he's fully invested in you, and he needs you to have a good story. Otherwise, you make him look bad. Like, in case you can't love yourself enough, just realize you're making him look bad. If you say you belong to him, and you're not getting victories, and you're not getting breakthrough, and you're not getting answers. So he's very invested in this. He's very invested in you. And all of these things to come, to know him, to enter, he wants relationship with you. He wants to see you do. And his namesake on top of this whole thing is what's at stake. I want to be a good story for him. I just love the transition in our life. It's taken me a long time to overcome personality things and heaviness. And we're talking about our grandson and how joyful he is. Like, he, you know what, he just has this smile. And I said to Phyllis the other night, we were talking about this again. I said, I don't think I was like that as a little boy. So I have memories when I was really little. Like, you know how you have those memories as far back as you possibly can have? I said, I'm afraid I was very moody. I wasn't like him. Thank you, Jesus, that he's not like me. And what was, who knows what we were under? Who knows where things came? I mean, it's not even about blaming anybody. It's just about realizing there's a whole nother thing, and we're tapping into the life, into the joy, and no one loves joy more than the Father. He loves joy. He loves the Spirit is joy. Joy is part of the kingdom, and we're making things so heavy, and it's like there's a joy to tap into. There's life. There's answers. And the Lord wants to lead you and make you. He can make your life exciting right now, and nothing. Things don't have to change. You have this inner joy, this inner peace, and you begin to walk, and you begin to move with him. So let's just commit this to the Lord today. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for how you're making a story out of all of us, that your name is on the line. And as we've chosen to believe in you, and we're getting victory. It doesn't matter how long we've had to sit at this table, stand at this, come to this table of exchange. We are getting answers, and we are getting movement from heaven. We are getting breakthrough. as we contend and we wait on you. And meanwhile, the waiting is full of relationship. We're learning how to talk to you. We're learning how to get to the depths of us and the depths of things that separate us from you. I just thank you so much for that. I thank you for the process. I thank you that you don't just instantly give me everything I want. I thank you for that. I'd be a horrible person. I'd be unchanged if you just answered everything. I would be ungrateful. But instead, I've learned how to be thankful. I've learned how to be thankful before I have an answer. I've learned how to be patient before I can see the end. I've learned that you are with me as I commit my way to you. You give me breakthrough. You give me victories. You give me peace. Give me joy. You give me joy. So, Father, today, I thank you for what took place today in worship. The song that was raised, the song that was released, our worship, I just ask you to continue to stir us up. Stir us up. Make all of this so possible, so good. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Anything else? There's one other date. Yes. Kevin Zadai that was here earlier this year is coming back to Atwell on the 30 and the 31st, which is a Friday and Saturday of August. And then on September 1st, he is scheduled to be here. So I'm that just was confirmed that he can come, so that he'll be here as well. So that's, you can put that on your schedule, and we'll try to get this all advertised and get the word out. So that'll be neat. So, amen. Have a good week, everybody. It's good to see Butch again. Nice to have you back visiting Ohio. I don't know if you're happy to be back in Ohio. It's so fun. That's good. Amen. God bless all of you.